Ahead and turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 14. We'll be looking this morning at verses 22 and 33. Our theme as a church this year is to be on target. And a few weeks ago, Pastor Kevin unwrapped this a little bit by giving us specific goals, specific intentional targets as us as a church. And on the board here, in a few seconds, there's going to be the 10 targets that we have. You know, whether it is to see 11 people come into a personal relationship with Christ, whether it's to see every adult person in our congregation come to that place where they will be baptized as a step of obedience in their life. And I'm not going to go through all 10, but these 10 targets are something that we're being about this year. And then Pastor Kevin, 2 weeks ago, talked about the resources that God gave us, the 4 resources that He has given us in order to accomplish those tasks. God has given us His people, given us each other, so that when we serve Him, we're not serving by ourselves. God gave us His Word to give us directions on how to reach our target, what we should talk about, our foundations, the messages that we talk about, what we preach about, how we're going to do church. He's given us prayer so that when things go crazy, when things go difficult, or when we just want to shout a praise for God, we can come back to Him and say, God, give us strength. And it's in prayer that we find our strength. And then God not only gives us the people, He gives us the Word, He gives us prayer, but God also gives us Himself in the form of His Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit gives us gifts and talents and skills to be able to serve God, to meet the goals that we have put out for our church. But this morning, I want to talk about another important ingredient of us being on target this year. Another important ingredient of us and how we're going to achieve our goals. And that important ingredient I want to talk about today is trusting in God. For every goal that we make, and every person that spends time serving, every Bible verse quoted, every prayer that is voiced, every expression of the fruits of the Spirit, we must trust and believe that He is able to accomplish His plan. Without the trust that He is able to do all that He plans, the best we can achieve is what man has already accomplished, without a hint of seeing God do the miraculous. And I believe that in 2007, God wants to do something awesome in our body of believers. I think God wants to do things that we've never seen before. And so as I talk today, we're going to begin to talk about the progression of faith. And as we look at the text this morning, I want us to focus in on the progression of faith and the lives of the disciples. I want us to pay close attention to Simon Peter. I want us to focus, he loved Jesus. And I want us to focus on the faith of Simon Peter this morning and watch how it began at one phase and it ended at another phase by the end of this episode, this scene in the Bible. His journey of faith is what we want to look at today. Ultimately, this is what we're striving for with this message. I believe God wants us all to trust Him and learn to depend upon Him in every aspect of our lives. Looking in your Word this morning, let me read to you Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of Him to the other side while He dismissed the crowd. After He had dismissed them, He went on a mountainside by Himself to pray. When evening came, He was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because of the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it is You," Peter replied, "tell me to come to You on the water." "Come," He said. And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water, and he came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. And he cried out, "Lord, save me!" And immediately Jesus reached out His hand and caught him. "You of little faith, why do you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. And then those who were in the boat worshipped Him, saying, "Truly You are the Son of God." Let us bow with a word of prayer. Lord, this morning I pray that the words that are to come out of my mouth would be clear. Father, it is Your message. And Father, today we're looking to trust You. Father, I pray that we just open our hearts to Your Word this morning. Thank You for to speaking with us. Thank you for meeting with us in your home this morning. In Christ's name, amen. Can you remember what it was like to first believe in Jesus and trust Him? When you began to trust Jesus to be your life leader, you received a sense of security and comfort. You felt His unconditional love, and you wanted to show God you loved Him by changing how you lived. You began to read the Bible because you wanted to know that what God had to say and what God wanted for your life. You began to talk to Him about everything. You began to come to church to celebrate Jesus and what He had done for you, and learn how to live as a follower of Christ. You learned that you had certain abilities and skills that could be used to serve God for His glory. You had a sense of belonging with other believers. You experienced an influx of joy in your life. It was a good time in your life. All of those experiences built inside you what I like to call, and where we're going to start this morning, the comfortable trust in God. It is the first stage of faith. And as we look at the progression of faith in one's life, that's where we'll begin this morning. The first stage of faith that we're going to see out of the text this morning is a comfortable trust. A comfortable trust in God is faith that Jesus will take care of you. Looking at the text, we begin with Jesus asking the disciples to get in the boat and to go ahead. They did not question Him, nor were they worried about what they might face ahead. They had spent time with Jesus and they loved Him, and they knew that He had the power within Him to control everything. And they trusted, by getting in that boat, they trusted Him, and they knew that He had the power to see them get to where they were going. He had, you know, the disciples had spent time, and they saw Him heal people. They saw Him, you know, make people that were deaf give them hearing. People that could see, He gave them sight. And just earlier in the passage of Scripture, in chapter 14, He fed 5,000 people with just a little bit amount of food. So the disciples had trusted Him. They believed that He could do all things. They knew if He was with them that they would be okay. And many of us this morning in this room are like that. We have that type of faith. We know that God loves us. We know that He will provide for us. We know that we can take comfort in Him. We are secure in Him. We know that we've got a job to go to, and He is blessed with that. We know that we have a house to go to, and He's blessed us with that. We know that He has given us a family to love and to have support and comfort, and we love Him and we trust Him with that. We love the Lord and we believe that He can take care of our needs. We trust Him because of the benefits that we receive. We receive eternal life when you put your trust in Christ. And eternal life is a promised gift of spending eternity in God's presence. We received this joy when we became believers. We began to have direction from Him. And that direction in our life was to follow Jesus. And we got a sense of purpose that all of us, those who would trust in Jesus, learn your one purpose is to glorify Him, to do everything that you have in honor of Him, and the many other blessings that He has poured out into our lives. But we have to be aware of the limitations of this stage of faith. If we only trust in God because of what we receive, then we might have the tendency to put the trust in the gift and not the giver. At this point in our story, the disciples were together on the boat. They had comfort and security in the boat. They knew where they were going because they trusted the Lord. But then something happens. Jesus did not come with them. I believe He chose this moment to teach the disciples a lesson about their faith. For sometime later in the night, storms would come and the disciples would become afraid. They would even become afraid of their Lord walking on water towards them. And in our own life, Jesus will set up times in our own lives to challenge us in the area of what we believe in order so that we can clearly know what we are basing our faith upon. We have goals this year as a church. And I believe that many of those goals, those 10 goals that we had ahead, I believe that many of them lie outside of our comfort zone. The boat in this story represents to me everybody's comfort zone. A comfort zone keeps you safe in life and puts you in control of your life. It protects you from the embarrassment and failure, but it also limits our creativity and opportunity for growth. The disciples were scared, and I think I would have been too. I've never been a fisherman, but I'm really not a big water person as far as being on waves. But I can't imagine as the storms rolled up that I wouldn't have been going, Lord, whoa, help me out. Get me through this. I don't want to die out here. But it would be my hope today, and your hope too, that I would have trusted my Lord to give me strength to face whatever storm may lay ahead. This year, God is going to allow us to face storms. The storms can be financial difficulties. The storms can be health related. The storms can be relationships that are not good. Maybe they're in your family. Maybe they're at work. Maybe your workplace is a difficult place to actively engage and live out your faith. Maybe there's troubles there. Maybe it's in ministries. Maybe this year you're going to fail in your ministry. You're a teacher that goes before the class and you share what God lays upon your heart. And the class looks at you and goes, what are you talking about? Or maybe you have a ministry where you go out of your boat, you get out of your comfort zone, and you go out to share your faith with someone, and all you get is rejection and hurt. So as we trust God to achieve our goals this year, we will face struggles. But I want to give you this encouraging word from the Word. The Lord says, take courage, it is I, who will not forsake you, and He can be trusted as we face the struggles that we will have to achieve these goals in 2007. What will you do to help our church, help the body of believers, meet those goals? Will you let the fear of rejection keep you from sharing your faith in Jesus with a loved one? Will you let disagreements embitter the spirit of the church? Will you give up on reading the Bible because it doesn't make sense to you? Or will you trust God and step out of the boat into that next stage of faith? Now, if you're a believer this morning, I believe that you have come to that place probably that you had that comfortable trust in God. But I'm challenging you this morning to take that next step, which is the next stage of faith. And I've called it the hopeful trust. And the hopeful trust in God is faith in Jesus to do what only He can do, which is the miraculous. And when I mean by miraculous, I mean do something that I myself am not capable of doing. Doing something that I've never seen what somebody else do. Do something just so God, so much Him, that it just wows you. And I believe that in 2007, our goal set up our church to see God do some awesome things. I would be so even inclined to say that I think God can bless us even more than meeting those goals. An example would be, seeing 11 people come to know Christ. What if God said, you know what? I'm not only going to see 11 people come to know Christ, which is wow, but we're going to see hundreds. That would be a miracle. That would be awesome. Hopeful trust in God, which is the second stage of faith, is faith in Jesus to do what He can only do. Turning back to the text, the disciples were scared. And even when Jesus reassured them that He was with them, most of them had trouble believing it. But look what Simon Peter, now this is when we need to turn our attention to Simon Peter. He was in the boat with the other disciples. He was scared. He was nervous. But he doesn't stay there. Look at Simon Peter. Simon Peter, who loved the Lord and for the most part followed Jesus wherever he went. Simon Peter, as you look through the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Peter would be the one disciple, that I believe I'm so much like. The one who would have moments where he would just be awesome, do things for God he couldn't believe, and God would use him to minister to the people. But then there would be moments when he would deny Jesus, he would deny that power, he would deny what he trusted in, and he would fail and he'd fall right on his face. But then Jesus would be right there to pick him up. Maybe some of you this morning are like that in your walks of faith. You're like Simon Peter. Peter asked the Lord a question. If that is you, then tell me to come. And the Lord responded, come. Jesus didn't have to think twice. He said, come. And one of the most amazing feats in the Bible happens. Peter walked on water. I can't even imagine what somebody walking on water looks like. I've seen it in the movies. Bruce Almighty is a good example. I've seen him walk on water, but that's fiction and yeah. But Peter, who was real, and the Lord who is real, Peter walked on water. Wow. Hopeful trust in Christ is a trust that is challenged by questions and answered by actions. Peter had that comfortable trust in Christ. Like most of us, I believe, had that comfortable trust in Christ. He knew Jesus loved him and had always taken care of him. Peter longed, ached to be where his Lord was, because that is where his faith in him was the strongest. It's kind of like when we come in here every Sunday morning or Wednesday or any time we get together with other believers. When you're with the body, you feel so much stronger. You feel like you're empowered to do everything. And then you go out into the world and it's like the world beats you up. And you long for the time to come back together with the people of God to be strengthened. Peter asked Jesus a question to support his faith in Jesus. As he stepped out of that boat, can you imagine? I want you to think about it. Can you imagine Peter, as he's in the boat, what he must have been thinking? Jesus said, come. Oh, you want me to come out of the boat? Can you imagine a fisherman who I don't know if Peter, James, John, and Andrew, I don't know if they were good swimmers. I would think that they would have to be. But I know they didn't have life preservers. And Peter would be thinking, you want me to come out of the boat? You want me to walk towards you? Wow, okay, you said come, and I'm going to follow you. I trust you that much. And can you imagine what he was going through his mind? And I want to give you a taste. Lord, I trust you not to let me drown. That's what he would have been thinking in his mind. Lord, don't let me fail. Lord, don't let me lose faith in you. And he steps out, and with his eyes focused on Jesus, he begins to walk on water. And I like to think, I'm not a roller coaster type of person. Every once in a while when we go as a youth group, I will get on one of the roller coasters and it'll be exciting, but I'm glad to get back on the ground. I'm okay with that. I'm excited for the second, but I'm not so excited watching other people be excited. And if you think about Peter, he gets out of the boat. Whoa! If it was me, I would be shaking with everything in my body. I would be shaking coming out of my comfort zone. My eyes are focused on Jesus. I don't know what he has in store for me, but I've got my focus on him and I trust him and he is my comfort. But I'm going to act out on this and I'm going to trust that his word is trustful. And he comes out of that and I just can't imagine what he must go through. I know what it's like to face something, though, that I don't want to do. And God uses it to test my faith and to challenge my faith. It's the season of life that I feel that I'm in right now. Sometimes in order for our faith in Jesus to grow, we must be willing to trust Him to do the unbelievable. Peter knew Jesus could enable him to walk on water, but listen to this. But it wasn't until Peter acted out on his faith that his hope was solidified. He had that comfortable faith in Him. That hope that was being built in Christ. But he had to act upon it. He had to come out of that boat. And with that would secure a hope in Christ that would years later, Peter would be put in places and in situations where he would have trusted the Lord. He'd be in prison. He'd be at Pentecost. And 3,000 people would be in attendance, would come to know Christ. I don't know how many people in attendance. But he would trust the Lord to know he can be used. We have goals as a church, and one of them is to see 11 people become followers of Christ. And if we as a church decide that it's better for us to stay in our boat, stay here at the church, only focus in on ourselves, stay where it's comfortable, I don't think we can expect anybody to become a believer. We must be willing to act out on our faith. We must be willing to get out of our boat to achieve these targets that God has set before us. I believe that some of you in this room are ready and wrestling with things in your life where you're in a comfortable stage of your faith and God is bringing new opportunities to serve Him, new opportunities to be used by God, to test your faith, to challenge you, to go be a witness, to go serve, and God is putting something in you. I don't know what it is, but God is putting something in your life that is challenging you to get out of your boat, to get and trust in Him. Maybe it's at a workplace. You've got somebody that's a burden on your heart. Somebody that you know needs Jesus. I know I got one guy in mind every week as I see him. There is somebody in my heart. He's burdened. And just this week, somebody told me he doesn't have direction. And I'm like, I know who you need to put your trust in. And he will give you direction. And he burdens my heart. We have goals as a church this year. And if we decide to stay in our comfort zone, I don't believe we will achieve them. Comfortable faith in God builds hope. But that hope needs to be tested in order to see that it is true. I believe if only takes a few members of our church who will take up the challenge of going outside of their comfort zone to be an example for everyone. This was a cool part of this scripture. I believe that Peter walking on water had a profound impact on the other disciples who stayed in the boat. I don't know why they stayed in the boat, but Peter didn't. Peter took that chance and leap of faith and walked on water. And I think it had a profound impact on the other disciples. Because if you know their history, know the rest of the story of the disciples, each of them, besides Judas, he has his own thing, but all the other disciples would go on and have moments in their life where they would get out of their boat. They would have moments in their life where they would stand boldly for Jesus. They would proclaim Him. They would proclaim Him so much to even to their death. The last thing to think about having a hopeful trust in Jesus is to be sensitive to what might distract us from focusing our lives on Jesus. Peter was distracted by the wind and he began to sink. Each of us will have distractions that keep us from focusing on Jesus. They can be entertainment. They can be friends. They can be work. They can be relaxation things. Sometimes it's self-pity. Sometimes we just, woe is me. And sometimes it's things of addiction, things that just take up all of our attention. But they're all distractions. They keep our focus off of Him. And when the distractions come, they will attempt to direct your hope in the wrong direction, our hope in the wrong direction. If you place your hope in other things besides Jesus, they will not satisfy you for very long. And I don't know what distracts you as a body. I know what distracts me. And it's real easy to see that when my focus is not on Christ, to go back and see what distracted me to lose my focus on Him. So who will step out of their comfort zones this year? Who will take the challenge of putting Jesus first in every aspect of their lives? Will you still let your distractions keep you from achieving your own personal goals, where God wants to take you in 2007? Or will you let the distractions keep you from living out your hope? And the final stage of faith is what I like to call the persevering trust. And the persevering trust in God is faith in Jesus that says He doesn't let you drown. It's something in your soul that says, Jesus will not let me down. I trust Him. I have had my faith tested. And now I stand upon my faith in Christ and I know it cannot be rocked. And no matter what I face, He is able. He will walk with me. He will be with me. He will strengthen me. He will encourage me. He will walk with me. Peter loved the Lord. We know this. We love the Lord. He trusted the Lord. We trust the Lord. He responded to the Lord's command to come out of the boat and join Him. Peter got distracted by the wind and began to sink. Sometimes we do. We get distracted. And sometimes we sink. Sometimes we, maybe even somebody in this room, maybe you feel right now, in your life, you're drowning. And you ain't got a prayer in you. I just want to encourage you, you do have a prayer. That prayer that says, God help me. And in his desperation, listen, he refocused on Jesus and cried out for help. He knew that he could not save himself from dying, but Jesus could. This last stage of faith does not have many achievers. This is a hard one to get to in life. I think God calls us home before this happens. But we are blessed with some who have achieved this persevering trust. They have tested their faith. And their faith has been solidly planted in their heart. And they have all eternal hope in Jesus. And that no matter what they face, they are secure. They know Jesus will walk with them. But few achieve this. Most of us are in that hopeful stage. And we kind of go back and forth between the hopeful stage and the comfortable stage. It comes after this stage of faith comes after a lifetime of getting out of the boat. Seeing God's hand perform miracle after miracle that grows one's faith stronger. And when they encounter challenging circumstances, they trusted Jesus. It's what I call the lasting faith in Christ. It is this type of trust in the Lord that produces God's desire, humble worshipers. Some of you in this room are my spiritual heroes. You have learned to trust Jesus and you love Him with every ounce of your being. You are thankful of His grace upon your life. You have used what He has given you for His glory. You don't take credit for what the Lord enables you to do. You have been healed through His Word. when your hearts have been hurt. You encourage others to believe. You have persevered because you learned to trust God in all things, both the good times and the bad times. These brothers and sisters are in our midst to remind us that our God is big and that He can be trusted in every event. The Gospels are about Jesus. They are also about the earliest disciples or followers of Christ and how they learned to trust Jesus. Peter would learn this day that anything that he attempted to achieve was possible if Jesus was not forgotten. He was in the boat in the beginning, and he got out and he fell short. He was humble enough to realize that he could not achieve his goal in his own strength. He did not give up on Jesus, and Jesus did not give up on him. As a church, I hope we will strive this year to trust more in Jesus and less in our own abilities and our own skills. For I believe when a body of believers puts Jesus at the center of their focus, He blesses. I want to read you one final quote to think about before the invitation. Theodore Roosevelt, our former president, said these words, "It's not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have been better. The credit belongs to the man who actually is in the arena, who at best knows in the end the triumph of great achievement, and who at the most, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place will never be with those cold, timid souls who know neither victory nor defeat. May you be challenged by that word. May you be challenged to be the person this year that will get out of your comfort zone. And I could spend the rest of this morning talking about what it is and how we can do that. But I'm just challenging you to trust God to get out of the boat. Trust God that He will be with you and meet your needs. Trust in Him. And I know without a doubt in my mind that if you will trust Him, He will bless. This morning's invitation. You know, I've often wondered about invitations. What are we actually inviting people to do? And so this morning I want to read Jesse's thoughts. If you're here this morning and you've never come to that time in your life where you've trusted Jesus to be your Lord, to be your Savior, to be your life leader, I invite you today to put your trust in Jesus to be your life leader, to begin there, to begin to build that comfortable trust in Christ, a starting point. If you're here this morning and you already have that comfortable trust, I want to invite you to commit to getting out of your comfort zone this year. Specifically today, to go to God, and in a few minutes we're going to have a time of prayer, to go to God and commit to Him that you will do something that you would rather not do so that you may grow in your faith. This in some ways is where I am at right now too. Hopeful trust. I invite you, if you're a person that has, man, all hope is in Christ, I want to invite you today to come and to allow me to pray for you about any distraction that keeps you from doing the miraculous, seeing God use you. Or I want to invite you to take someone you know, somebody that's sitting right next to you, maybe it's somebody you trust here in the body, to take that person to pray together that about the distractions that will come up, because they will come. Or maybe you're here this morning. I think we do have some here this morning that have this persevering trust that I've shared about. Folks, I want to encourage you guys to praise God for what He's going to do in the body of believers. Because you know He can. You know our God is that big. And so I ask that you would go to the Lord and praise Him for what He's going to do. Congregation, as I asked Nathan and the rest of the musicians to come, I would ask that you would rise and to think about where you stand. Where's your trust in Christ today?